And let's just go in our Bibles, and we're going to start reading at chapter 4 and verse number 1. And Brother Carl, I am going to read down through verse 8, okay? I'm going to read down through verse 8. Before we go to the word of the Lord, I realize it might be carnal to have a favorite book of the Bible, because it's all God's word. But I will tell you that the book of Romans is one of my very favorite books of the Bible. I read through Romans 2 to 3 times a year. I refer to it throughout the year a lot. And Romans chapter 4 for me is one of my favorite chapters of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 9, and Romans chapter 11. And Romans 4, when I got my hands around Romans 4, is when it just things really started opening up for me as far as having an understanding. And before we read this, I want to read those first 8 verses, but before we do, I'm going to throw Carl a little bit of a curveball here and see how quickly he can get on the fly here. Let's see how quickly. Brother Carl, can you go to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1? Romans 5 and 1. The reason I want to read this before we read Romans 4 is in Romans chapter 4, Paul is going to build a case like an attorney does. You know how an attorney will speak to his jury, and an attorney will present evidence and build a case. He will build a case. Paul, in Romans chapter 4, is building a case. And that case, we're going to see here in Romans 5 and 1. The case is justification by faith. Justification by faith alone. And so Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by what? By faith. Therefore, in other words, he spends Romans chapter 4 building this argument of justification by faith, building the case. In Romans 5 and 1, he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So now let's go back and let's look at Romans 4 and let's read the first 8 verses. The Apostle Paul says, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Verse 4. Now to the one who works, and this was a pivotal verse for me. For to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness, get this, apart from works. And then he quotes one of the Psalms. It's a Psalm of David. It says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. verses 7 and 8, when I got to the bottom of verses 7 and 8, and I've preached from Romans 4, verses 7 and 8 since I've been here. If you were to go back into our sermon archives, you'll find where I preached from Romans 4, verses 7 and 8. When 7 and 8, when I understood 7 and 8, it was just like, it was like walking into a room that was dark and you turning on the lights. And so let's pray before we go to the word of the Lord. Let's pray today. Oh, Father, we are so thankful to be here tonight. And we're thankful for those that are joining us online. And we ask that you would anoint this time, God, and open our minds, open our hearts. Lord, let your word have free course, God. Let your word abound in us tonight, God. Let it go not just in our ears and in our brains, but in our hearts as well, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So let's go back up to verse number 1. And Paul is going to build this case for justification by faith. And he's going to start with Abraham. And he says, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? Paul, knowing that he is talking to a Christian audience that is made up largely of Jews, the two of the most central figures in the Old Testament that the Jews rest their faith on was Abraham and David. And I'm going to show you that right now he's going to talk about Abraham, but then in verse 7 and verse 8, he quotes a psalm of David and talks about David. So as Paul is building this case of justification by faith, he is taking two of the most central characters of the Old Testament. In the Jewish mind, Abraham and David were it. And if you read this passage in other versions, there are other translations. I like this ESV version here. I like this the way that they translated it. But in some of your other translations, here's the way that it's translated. It said there's several other versions that have this reading. What then shall we say? What then shall we say that Abraham is found? And then it's in a question form, of which the answer would be Abraham found justification by faith. And he told them in the end of this verse, he said, Abraham was our forefather according to what? The flesh. The flesh. And you say, well, what's the big deal of that? Well, in this same chapter, let's go down to verse 16. Okay? And in verse 16, in verse 1, he calls Abraham, he said, he's our forefather according to the flesh. But if you look at the very last part of verse 16, you don't need to read the whole verse. Just look at the very last part of the verse. It says, Abraham, who is the father of us all. In other words, not just Jews, but Gentiles only. So how could Abraham, I could see how Abraham, they could say that Abraham was the forefather of the Jews. But how could Abraham be the forefather of the Gentiles as well? Well, if you remember, God told Abraham, of your seed or of your offspring will what? All of the nations of the earth be blessed. Not just the nation of Israel, but all of the nations would be blessed. And I want to tell you, understanding this verse kind of has a little bit of a sharp edge on it. And, you know, have you ever been, you know, sharpening a knife or whatever, and you're feeling of that edge, and all of a sudden you felt of it a little too much, and it you pressed on it too hard, and all of a sudden now you've got a cut. And I've done it a bunch. Well, this verse has a little bit of an edge on it because he talks about Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh. Verse 16 talks about that Abraham can be the father of us all. So what Paul is saying here is that there are some people, Abraham is their forefather, but really only according to the flesh. But then there are other people that Abraham is their forefather by faith. Okay? And let me show you kind of the edge on this. If you'll remember in John chapter 8, the Jews said, they told Jesus, Abraham is our father. And that's the Jews. I mean, pointing their finger in Jesus' face. Listen, Abraham is our father. And in verse 44, Jesus replied, and he says, you're of your father, the devil. In other words, if you're going to be a child of Abraham, it cannot be according to the flesh. It cannot be because biologically, genetically, you are descendants of him. That does not make you a son of Abraham. You are a son of Abraham by faith and not by natural birth. And it would be basically what Paul is saying there is that having Abraham as your father only according to the flesh is worthless. It means nothing. In eternity, it means absolutely nothing. And let me say something to you that may not seem very profound, but it was very profound to me when I found it out. We've talked a lot about, in the, I guess, six years that we've been here, Sister Wiggins. We've talked, I've mentioned the destruction of Jerusalem many times. And it's interesting to note that all of your Jewish genealogical records were lost in the destruction of the temple. See, Israel had, if you were a Jew in those days, you knew who your dad was, who his dad was, who his dad was, who his dad was, and you could trace your genealogy. They had all those records kept. You had the tribe of Benjamin, you had the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Judah, but did you know all of those records got destroyed in the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70? This is the thing that's shocking. There is not one Jew on the earth today, alive today, that knows what tribe they are from. There is no more record. You could say, well, man, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Really? How? How do you know that? You don't know that. And so to be a child, to be a son of Abraham, it's by faith. It's by faith. It's not by worth. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2, Paul starts building this case about justification by faith and not justification by works. Okay? He says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he would have had something to brag about. Okay? Now, first of all, I want to tackle something that I've mentioned before, lightly, but I want to bring it down and I want to make sure that you understand this. In the book of Romans, Paul uses this word justified a whole lot. And what does justified mean? Well, it means you're just. I mean, what is it? In the Greek, the word that is translated as justified is actually a legal term. It was a term that was used by judges in a court of law in which you would be going before a judge. I'm going to be talking to a judge on the phone tomorrow. I got a speeding ticket and I can't appear in court because it's all, we got it on the way back from Idaho. And so the lady on the phone told me, the judge will call you and you can just do your case over the phone. And she says, and then she told me, she goes, and if you say such and such, don't tell him, but if you say blah, 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 he probably will reduce your fine. So we're going to see, okay? But this word justify in the Greek is a Greek term that means to be made in right standing, to be pronounced blameless, okay? So how did Abraham sin? Yes, we've all sinned. So he says, so if Abraham was made in right standing, if he was justified, if he was made in right standing with God by works, then he'd be able to brag. He'd be able to say, look at what I accomplished. Look at what I did. I was able to get myself justified. And Abraham was not justified by any works that he did. Abraham stood in the right before God by believing, not by doing. Verse 3 of chapter 4 says this. Well, verse 2 says, If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Then verse 3 says this, for what does the scripture say? And he says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Paul takes these Jews all the way back to the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. The book that by name is the book of beginnings. He takes these Jews that were believing in justification by works of the law. He takes them all the way back to the book of Genesis and says, okay, let's see how Abraham was justified. Let's see if Abraham was justified by works. Let's see if Abraham performed some work that got him right in the eyes of God. Let's just see. You know, he's challenging these Jews. Let's just see how Abraham, our father, got justified, got made right, was pronounced guiltless in the eyes of God. And he goes to Genesis and he quotes Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. And it says, he brought him outside. The Lord brought Abraham outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said unto him, so shall your offspring be, or your seed be. And verse 6, and he, Abraham, believed the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In other words, Abraham believed Yahweh, and he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abraham, as righteousness. Abraham was justified by faith. Can't you see Paul as an attorney? Remember, he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees, they were doctors of the law. They were attorneys of the law, and he was building this legal case, and he's showing them, these Jews that wanted to rely on works as a means of salvation. He took them all the way back to Genesis and said, listen, Abraham, our forefather, was not justified by anything he did. He was justified by faith. He believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. And another point that I want to say about this is that, and I can't get into this and unfold this without spending an hour on it, so I'm going to spend 30 seconds on it, okay? There has been a lot of debate and a lot of discussion over the years, and I can remember this being discussed in our home church, Sister Wiggins, in Madeira, and I can remember a name that you guys might not remember very well. Nate Wilson came out with a course called the Pastor's Course, and it was talked about. And there a lot of discussion, a lot of debate was, okay, what was the plan of salvation in the Old Testament, and what is the plan of salvation in the New Testament? Okay, and if you get into dispensationalism, which everybody here knows that I do not believe in dispensationalism. Dispensationalism in its purest form taught, classical dispensationalism taught that the way you were saved was you just did what, as long as you obeyed what was that particular dispensation that you were living in, you were saved. So if you lived in the dispensation of innocence, as long as you tried to stay innocent, you were saved. Then remember, you had the dispensation of conscience. Well, as long as you obeyed your conscience during the dispensation of conscience, you were saved. That's what dispensationalism teaches. And then the dispensation of human government. As long as you obeyed human government, if you lived during that dispensation, you were saved. The thing that helps me here is that Paul is going all the way back to the book of Genesis and telling these Jews, listen, it was justification by faith all the way back in the book of Genesis from the very beginning. And that's the way it was through the entire Old Testament, and that's the way it's going to be through the entire New Testament. Old Testament people of God were justified by faith. Abraham was justified by faith. And so will New Testament people be justified by faith. Paul was showing them, listen, this is not some new Johnny-come-lately doctrine. This goes all the way back to the beginning, the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 15. And Paul wrote in the church of, in the book of Galatians, when he wrote to the church of Galatia, in chapter 3, Paul said it like this. He said, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, see how he quotes Genesis 15 and 6 again to the here in Galatians. He said, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Okay? You're the son of Abraham by faith, not by works. Now, let's go to verses 4 and 5. He says, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Let me put it to you this way. Sister Josie, name me your employer. School district. Are you paid by check or are you paid electronically? You're paid electronically. How often are you paid? Once a month. So let me ask you, when that electronic payment hits your account and you look and you see, wow, there it is. That money's in my account, my paycheck. Then the next morning when you go into the office, do you go up to your boss and tell your boss, hey, I just wanted to let you know that money, you put it in my account. I really want to thank you for that. Do you do that? Do you thank your boss for paying you? Carl, do you thank your boss for paying you? Why? Why? Because why, Sister Wiggins? You earned it. You worked for it. It's not a gift. If you worked for it, you don't need to tell your boss, hey, thank you. Thank you so much. No, uh-uh. You earned it. You had it coming. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse number 4. He says, the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift. They're counted as something that's owed him, okay? But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Because he's not trying, he doesn't have a performance-based salvation that if he can live up to a certain standard. And I'm not saying to go out and live like the devil. And I'm not preaching easy grace. We're not talking that kind of stuff here. But on the other hand, we're not talking performance-based salvation. It says, to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. His faith is not in his own work. What is his faith in? His faith is in the finished work of Christ. See, that's the difference right there. I can't do enough works to earn my way to heaven. I cannot go to enough prayer meetings. I cannot attend enough church services. I cannot dress holy enough. I cannot give enough money in the offering. I can't go on church outreach enough. I can't do all the, none of this stuff. None of my works can justify me. But if I can just have faith in the finished work of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that can be counted to me as righteousness. Now I'm going to read verses 6, 7, and 8, and then this is where we're going to end off here, leave off here tonight. It says, I told you that at the very beginning of this, I told you that Abraham was going to take two of the most central figures of the Old Testament in the Jewish mind, that they're two champions, two of the biggest characters in the Old Testament. Other, you know, you, of course, you've got Moses as well, but two of the big, big, big ones would have been Abraham and David. And he's built this case with Abraham and shows how Abraham was not justified by works. Now he's going to do the same thing with David. And here's what he says. He says, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. And then he quotes and he says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. And I used to read this, but I did not understand the connection. Okay, first of all, he was quoting a psalm of David, which was Psalm 32. In fact, Brother Carl, if you'll put Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, you see, here's the quotation. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. So you see how Paul is quoting the 32nd Psalm. Here is what was profound about this to me, okay? Was David guilty of adultery? Everybody's going to have to say yes. David was guilty of adultery. So let me ask you, according to the law of Moses, if you committed adultery, what was the sacrifice that you needed to offer in order to get your sin of adultery atoned for? Does anybody know what was the sacrifice you offered? What was the sacrifice you took to the priest and he offered and to atone for your sin of adultery? What was it? Let me read. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall what? There was no sacrifice. There was no atonement. If you committed adultery according to the Old Testament law, you were doomed, friend. There was no provision in the law to redeem you. There was no provision in the law to redeem you from the sin of adultery. After David committed adultery, what's the next sin that he committed? Murder. Ask the same question. What was the Old Testament sacrifice for you to take to the priest to get to atone for your sin of murder? There wasn't one. I mean, if you can go, Brother Carl, if you can go Numbers chapter 35 and verse 30. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death. And you could even read it again in Exodus 21 and 12. It says, whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. So David had a double whammy here, folks. Even though he was the king of Israel sitting on his royal throne, he committed adultery and he committed murder. Neither one of those could be atoned for by the law. He was cursed. He was doomed. But, so there's the weakness of the law. The law could not redeem David. The law could not redeem him. How did David, remember that word justified, what does the word justify mean? To be made in right standing, to be pronounced blameless. So how did David get pronounced blameless? How did he get justified, pronounced guiltless? Paul's making the case it was justification, not by works, but by faith. There was no work in the law to atone for David's sin. The only way David could get his sin atoned for was justification by faith. Justification by faith. And to me, that is just so, when I realized that, that was just so powerful to realize that that's why David wrote in Psalm, in the 32nd Psalm. And man, I think that David would have had, you know, tears running down his cheeks when he was writing the psalm, when he realized that, listen, I can still get my sin atoned for, even though the law will not atone for it. And that's why he wrote, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, and blessed is the man whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no. All the way back in the Old Testament, David found true justification, that it was not by the works of the law, it was through faith in the Messiah that was to come. All of your Old Testament people of God were not justified by their great works. I could show you places in the Old Testament where they would offer, like remember when they dedicated the temple that Solomon built, and they named how many thousand oxen that were offered, and how many thousand sheep were offered, and all of this, man, all of this. But when it came down to it, for all the way from Genesis through to Malachi, the case that Paul is making is from Genesis to Malachi, it was justification by faith. It's always been that way. And he's telling them, it's always been that way, and it will always be that way. The only difference is the Old Testament people of God looked forward to it, knowing that there is going to come a day that a Messiah would come. And the New Testament people don't look forward, they look backward. And they say, okay, I'm living 2,000 years later, but 2,000 years ago, my Messiah came. And I, rather than trying to earn my salvation through good works, I am going to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that, my friends, is justification by faith alone. Justification by faith alone. And I'm going to tell you right now, I sleep a whole lot better at night than I used to. Because I will be very honest with you, for many years, I believed in a performance-based salvation. That if I could be good enough, if I could be Christian enough, if I could be apostolic enough, if I could do everything, if I could just do it enough, I was saved. And I want to tell you something. I did pretty good, but it was never quite good enough. And I can remember laying on my pillow at night thinking, oh God, am I spending enough time praying in the mornings? Maybe I need to bump it up another 15 minutes. I can remember times of getting up and going to bed at night and saying, man, when I got up this morning, I only had 15 or 20 minutes of prayer time. I didn't have my normal 45 minutes to an hour. I only had 15. Oh, man, I can't let this happen again. My salvation's in danger here. What am I doing? I'm relying on my works. I'm relying on my performance. Rather than saying, listen, having a prayer life has nothing to do with my salvation. Having a prayer life is the fruits that a Christian produces. Am I saying you don't need to pray? Oh my goodness, you better be on your knees praying every day. But that's not your salvation. That's the fruits of a Christian life. And I want to tell you something. I just sleep a lot better because the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross is a whole lot better than the halfway works that Tim Wiggins was producing. And I just feel so secure in my salvation. And so anyway, we will end it there. And if we had more people here tonight, I'd be saying if we have any comments or questions, but we'll just have everybody stand. And let's just pray. Let's just pray in dismissal tonight. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, we are so thankful for you. God, we are so thankful, Lord, for the perfect plan that you crafted for the redemption and the salvation of those that would believe. Oh God, we are so thankful today and we are so humbled by your grace, your plan, God. We are in awe of you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.